100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say.
Hey, hey, Digital Sister is back. Day after Christmas. I hope you had a really very nice holiday with your friends and family, and that you didn't overdo it with the eating or drink too much, but that you did just enough to have a really good time. And I hope you had a really, really nice holiday. Papa's got a brand new bag. Ow! Remember that? And talking loud. And saying nothing. And let's not ever forget, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. And of course, Sex Machine and the other classics, Please, Please, Please. And don't ever forget from the Rocky film, Living in America. Dun, dun, dun. Well, it's my own little personal musical tribute to a legend who just passed away on Christmas Day. You know by that music and that lead-in, I'm talking about no one else but the legendary James Brown. It's so sad that he died on Christmas morning, and he left us, I think, way too soon. He was 73. But he was such a prophetic musician. I remember back in the 60s, at the time of the Civil Rights, when Martin Luther King was assassinated, when Bobby King was assassinated. And at that time, African Americans were wrestling with identity and what we were going to be called, because, you know, Negro had passed, and we were looking for something else more revolutionary. And James Brown came out with this song in about 1968, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and it just blew up the airwaves. And I remember I was a kid in elementary school, and I remember hearing that song, and I remember how it gave me a sense of pride, you know, that it was okay to be called black, and it was something to be proud of. And remember back in those times, those were the days of the big afros, Angela Davis, you know, all kinds of big afros and hairdos. But it was a time of emerging self-exploration, emerging culture. It was the time of the Black Panthers. It was just a time of revolution and a time of civil unrest. But James Brown was on the cutting edge, always with his music, always saying something positive and just getting his message out there. So I loved his music. I think every kid try to dance like him in front of the mirror, you know, doing the mashed potatoes and trying to do those dance steps. And I know you're out there. I know that you have all done that ending scene that he does with his show, where he sings and he falls to his knees, and then one of his bandmates comes out, puts that cape around his shoulders, and he gets up and he just, you know, he walks a little bit like he can't go on, and then he just breaks out in song. You know, we have all reenacted that scene. But that's the legend of James Brown. He just left so many memories I think all of us will share, and I think that's what's important. You know, let's not dwell on some of the troubles that he had in his life, because everybody has troubles, but let's remember the wonderful music, the good spirit that he had. You know, he had a little trouble with some things, but, you know, his heart probably was very good, and, you know, tough life, not justifying anything he's done. But let's not dwell on that. Let's remember him for the great musician that he was, and the fact that he has totally single-handedly influenced a whole generation of rappers. He's influenced Prince, you know, just as Little Richard did. You can see his imprint on all sorts of musicians today, from our rock people to our blues people to our British invasion rockers. I mean, everybody. So we And I just have to say, I'm so glad that last year he received the Kennedy Award. So that's really wonderful that he received that while he was alive. But, you know, do a toast to James. And I can't agree with Jesse Jackson more. He said that it was a dramatic way for him to pass away on Christmas Day. And he once said he wanted to be somebody when he was a kid because he had such a tough life growing up. And he passes away on Christmas Day, and as Jesse Jackson said, he is all over the papers, all over the world, and he wouldn't have it any other way. So our condolences to the family of James Brown. Boy, did I have a really, really incredible week last, incredible visit last week with someone. And I happened to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last Wednesday evening to hear and to meet Ruthless Records co-founder Jerry Heller. Now, I remember Ruthless Records, but I didn't always know the name Jerry Heller. But then when that information came to me, I said, oh my God, this is a legend. And so he was there to do a lecture and a book signing for his new book called Ruthless Memoir. And it's a tell-all book. It's riveting. I purchased it and had a chance to meet him and speak with him very briefly. But it was so exciting because as we came into the small auditorium to hear him speak, what was playing over the sound system? NWA, Straight Outta Compton, and some other great music that we haven't really heard in a really long time. And all the memories just came flooding back, like, you know, where were you when you first heard that? And how Straight Outta Compton just blew the rap scene out of the water, and it just put the whole early emerging gangster music right on the map. It was just really incredible. But he was very, Jerry Heller, very charming, very, I think, very candid, just powerful, the stories that he was talking about, how Eazy-E, Eric Wright, who passed away in 1995, paid someone $750 to meet Jerry Heller. And because, you know, he had a vision for what he wanted to do. And it seemed like they were such an unlikely pair. You know, Eazy-E was very short, from what I understand, like 5'1", and Jerry Heller's like, you know, 6 feet. Eazy-E, you know, from Compton, ex-drug dealer, yada, yada, yada. You have Jerry Heller, super agent to every group you could imagine. And they were able to come together and you know, create a record company that really was the sound of cutting edge right then. And it's a fascinating story. And it's also a fascinating story because I had to recollect some of my history. But remember, NWA, it was Dr. Dre, it was Ice Cube, there's another member. Can't think of the other person's name. It'll come back to me in a moment. You know, there was Alonzo from the Wrecking Crew. I mean, it was just an evolution of people that were all part of that. It was just absolutely fascinating. You got Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, DJ Yella, kind of a back-out person. You know, Suge Knight starts coming into play in that time, and then you have some other people that were all part of this whole incredible phenomenon. Just a great story. And then when you kind of start hearing about how things changed and how things fell apart, it was very interesting and sad that they couldn't keep the personalities together and keep the music flowing. And also, I didn't know that Jerry Heller was also behind Bone Thugs and Harmony, which was another groundbreaking rap group that came out of Cleveland, and they had a whole different sound. And if you remember, kind of like the late 90s or so, when they were really, really hot, you noticed that they had a different sound, and all the other groups were starting to do that sound. Usher had that in a number of his songs. It was that that I can't even describe it, but you know it when you hear it. Just a whole different sound. And Jerry Heller was there too. So in any event, I contacted him and emailed him, so I'm working on setting up an interview with him, you know, for the radio show, and ultimately I hope to have him on an interview with the podcast too. But just a fascinating fascinating story, and just I was just so glad I had a chance to meet and talk with him. Just very, very, very cool. Oh my God, what else is going on here? Talking a little bit about, remember Mike Evans from the Jeffersons? He was the first Lionel. Well, you know, it's so sad that he passed away at 57. And, you know, he seemed to be like a really cool guy. He was also a co-creator of the 70s sitcom Good Times with Eric Monte. So we were just really sorry to hear about that, because he hadn't been out in the public, you know, a lot lately. But in any event, we're just really sorry that he passed away, because he too was in many ways a very early pioneer, being on that groundbreaking program All in the Family, and being the wisecracking, kind of smart aleck, kind of the voice of conscience, and the nemesis to then the character Archie Bunker. So we're really sorry that he passed away at such a young age. And you know what? Check this out. I have to go see it, but I think it's great, all the buzz that's going on with Dreamgirls, because I remember I lived in New York when Dreamgirls, the play, came out, and it was Cheryl Lee Ralph, Loretta Devine, and Jennifer Holliday, who were the cast at that time. And that show was so hot and so popular. It ran for I think a couple of years, and I remember seeing it. I got standing seats only, where you paid $10 and you just stand and watch the production. And it was like a 2 hour, maybe 2.5 hour production, but the show was so hot, it was so much fun to watch and to experience, that you forgot you were standing up for 2.5 hours watching a Broadway musical. So I remember that was a wonderful experience to see that. It seems, though, unfortunately, that Jennifer Holliday, you know, has some sour grapes with the film that's come out, you know, some 25 years later, that's open with Beyonce, Eddie Murphy, Jamie Foxx, I mean, you name it, they're in it. But she's, you know, kind of ticked off, because for some reason they didn't, you know, create a spot for her. They did that with Loretta Devine, because she has a cameo in the new film, but they didn't do that for Jennifer Holliday. So she's been in the press lately, you know, kind of ticked off about that. But, you know, I guess I would probably say something too, because as we know, it's rare that African-American musicals, you know, become motion pictures, even though it took 25 years to do so. So, yeah, I kind of would feel the same way. I would wonder why they didn't give me a role either. It could have given me a cameo. And remember, she's half the size now that she was when she did the original Dreamgirls, which Jennifer Hudson is doing the role of Effie now. But in any event, you know, her name is certainly back in the press because of that, and hopefully, you know, she'll get something positive to come out of this. Maybe it will rekindle interest in her, and maybe, you know, help with her career a bit more. But yeah, I think if I was in the original play and a film was made 25 years later and I was still alive and well, I would want to have you know, some piece in it, maybe to have been a consultant on the film, or even just to have a cameo. So I ain't mad at you, Jennifer, for getting your name out in the public and letting people know you are not happy that you were not invited to be part of the new production. But I can't wait to see it, so when I do, I certainly will talk about it in the podcast. But it sounds like it's just really fabulous, and I think it's probably something that everybody's been looking for, just a really good movie, a good music with good imagery, you know, good dancing, just something of feel good with a story. You know, people aren't being murdered, people aren't being blown up and chopped up to bits. You know, it's just a Broadway play that turned out good and well enough to be brought to film some 25 years later. So I can't wait to see it, and when I do, I will certainly talk about it with you. And what is this now? I just see that they're going to be executing Saddam. I did a segue from entertainment to politics, but they're talking about executing Saddam Hussein in a month. And, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, a visionary or a psychic, but I just have to wonder what that's going to do. I mean, the country is already in civil war. They're finally admitting it, that it is actual civil war that's going on in Iraq. And I just wonder, is that going to be the incident that tips the country into complete chaos? Or, you know, I just wonder what that's going to do. And given the fact that we have all these changes with Rumsfeld being out and feelings about the war is dwindling, and they're kind of dangling the possibility of reinstituting the draft in the United States, and there's just not a lot of good feeling. And the fact that they're calling for more troops, which, you know, I mean, I'm not a military person, but I'm looking at it, and is that really going to be the solution to a situation that just seems to be really out of control, where we're just losing a lot of our people and a lot of Iraqi civilians innocently are being killed, you know, and losing their lives and being maimed, you know, for something that they didn't create. I mean, it was something that the United States decided to do. So I just wonder, you know, is that going to be the tinderbox that really sets things off? And not just in Iraq, but possibly the whole region. Because I don't think there's ever been a time in history where a former Arab Muslim has been, you know, executed. You know, I don't know if that's ever happened before. And I'm wondering, despite what people say, we know the deep feelings and the solidarity that Muslims and Arabs feel, you know, be they Shiite or Kurds or Sunni, but there's that shared feeling of being an Arab in that Middle Eastern culture. And I wonder if that is not going to trigger a backlash beyond Iraq and trigger a backlash across the Middle East region, because that's going to be an unprecedented situation. And I just, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of holding my breath and wondering. I mean, it could be a situation where the execution is done without any ramifications, but I doubt it very seriously. And even though that was our mission, you know, when we were supposed to be looking for bin Laden, but we have Saddam, you know, I'm wondering if our, and I'm talking about the U.S. government, the blindsidedness in rushing and bringing this person to justice, is that the right thing to do, given what's going on? So I don't know. I think the jury is out on that, but I'm probably, like everybody else around, wondering what that will do if, in fact, that is carried out, an execution of Saddam Hussein is carried out. You know, the perception that the U.S., you know, basically executed Arab leader, you know, and I'm just wondering how that's going to play out in the region. So I think the jury's out on that, and I think we're all going to be sitting around waiting to see exactly what happens and if that fuels any other tensions. But I think it's an interesting precedent that's taking place, and you know, I think we're all kind of wondering and watching and seeing what's going to happen. But anyway, I just had to bring that up because I just thought, oh my God, that's like probably the last thing they need to do right now. But anyway, I just want to say that this is going to be my last podcast for the year. It's been a great year being part of a new industry, being a podcaster. It's just been a really, really wonderful experience to create a show and to find content that people out around the world find interesting too. So it's very exciting when you create something and you find out that other people are seeking you and finding you out and tuning in and actually taking the time to download your podcast. So I'm just really very excited about that. And if you listen to my very first podcast, I mean, I was just so green and so in awe of the technology and the whole experience of podcasting. It was just very simple. I was doing a test to my tech guy, and that's kind of how it started. But over the year, it's grown. I've gotten more comfortable. I find content that people apparently enjoy hearing about. And what's even more exciting is the fact that the podcast is not being downloaded just in the United States. People all over the world are downloading Digital Sister and hearing my commentaries and my reflections about certain things. And people as far away as in Malaysia, in India, you know, in Europe, Japan, Brazil. It's just wonderful. And it's just a very exciting thing to be part of. And it's only going to grow. Because as I told you with my podcast last week, I had 169 downloads overnight, and that speaks volumes for how Digital Sister is catching on. And the fact that I shared with you a few weeks before that about how Digital Sister made one of the top four most active podcasts at that particular moment. So it's very exciting to be part of it, and it's important, I think, that podcasting allows many people to have a voice. And as I've said in many of my podcasts before, I think it's really an interesting phenomenon because now the world can hear commentary from an African-American woman and kind of see what we think about and how we feel about some things, because it's a voice that, as I said many times in my podcast, is not really heard in the major media, and it's not really heard in major media who are putting out podcasts and things like that. So I think podcasting is a very important and useful tool. It's still very new. People are still trying to figure out how to utilize it. But I would say just jump in, you know, try, see what works. I did that with the radio show. Coming on 2 years of doing that, and podcasting coming up on 2 years with that. So I would just say if there are new technologies that you find interesting and they pique your interest, then try it, you know. Figure out how to do it, and you will figure out what works for you. When I was looking to do podcasting, there's so many different avenues to try and do it. But I had to look at where I am. I'm not a real big tech whiz, but I like recording, and that's you know, where my voice and my talents and my skills are. So I looked for a service such as Podomatic, which everything was all in one. So I was just having to figure out content and utilize my voice so I don't have to worry about trying to do a lot of other things. And at some point, that may change where I actually may have something with Podomatic in addition to another podcast someplace else. But I just want to encourage you, as we're coming up on a new year, 2007, don't sit on the sidelines as technology is just moving by you. Take that big toe and just dip it into the water, you know, take a chance and try. Look how big YouTube has caught on, you know. That just came from someone deciding they wanted to see videos. So again, there's so many things out here, as I've said before, but just take the time, think about what you might want to do, and then take a chance and try it and see how it works for you. And All I will say is that once you do, you're going to be part of new technology. You're going to be part of something that's on the cutting edge, and you're going to be part of something that has potential to grow. So I encourage you to take a chance and don't be afraid. And I also want you to keep tuning in to Digital Sister and passing it around and telling your friends about it, because that helps me. So in any event, I just want to thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate all of my listeners that have supported me and listened to the podcast over the year. And I'm going to, as I learn more and become a little bit more savvy, I'm going to work on 2006, spicing up the podcast and adding some other things. Tech Whiz Mike Lilly will be back on occasion to, you know, educate us about some things. But I'm a work in progress with this podcasting also. So we're going to take this ride together, and we're going to just continue to help the podcast grow and continue to make it interesting and continue to make it something that you feel interested enough to take the time and download. So in any event, I'm going to say have a very happy new year. And have a really, really nice holiday. And just take some time to think about what you think you want to accomplish in 2007. And then take little steps to actually start making that happen. And again, thank you so much for listening to Digital Sister, for passing it around. And thank you to all my new friends all around the world. I really appreciate you. And I think I'm going to, like, wrap it up now, because I think that's all I have to say. So in any event, take care. I will be back with you in 2007. Have a happy new year. And Digital Sister, thanks you for listening. Have a great week. Have a great year. And have a very happy and a very safe new year celebration. Take care. Bye-bye.
The West Side, we're riding. West Side, the West Side.